Welcome to Courage in Action. We are a sisterhood of women empowering women to be everything we are meant to be. I'm your host, Niluka Kotagada, and it is my privilege to join your life journey as we connect with some extraordinary, triumphant, and beautifully imperfect women through this podcast. Together, we hope to inspire you to take action towards your life goals, one courageous step at a time. Today, we are joined by the multifaceted, multi-talented Jennifer James. Jen, like many of us, wears several different hats throughout her day and her life, including businesswoman, business partner, wife, dog mom, and caregiver to her aging parents. She balances all of this through mindfulness and is here to share some of her secrets to success. Welcome, Jen.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Could we start with your journey to becoming this amazing, multifaceted, multi-hat-wearing, successful woman who truly lives in your own space and knows where you're going? How did you get to this point in your life?
I didn't get here on my own. My journey has been full of many partnerships and a lot of support from really wonderful people. My biggest three supporters in my life today are my two dogs and my husband.
Yeah, I love that.
So without them by my side, the world of being a multifaceted, multi-passionate, multipreneur, whatever you want to call it, can get complicated and rocky at times, and there's a lot of ups and downs. And so no matter where you find yourself, it's circling yourself with wonderful people always to make sure that journey doesn't feel lonely. And it's important to know when you need support and not be scared to reach for it, because it takes a village.
Absolutely. If you're in a position where maybe you're in a new space or a new place and everything is very overwhelming, how do you find those beings that will give you that strength and that support?
I'm going to share an example. I always talk through storytelling. That's just part of my DNA. Very recently, I found myself in that very situation. I just wrapped up a contract and I found myself in a situation where we got a power of attorney for my husband's mother. Okay. And she had been estranged from him for several years. So it was a new experience. So I decided to take the summer off and lean in while we were also working through, I have power of attorney for my father. Both of them have dementia.
So new
territory, right? Brand new, whole new world. And at the same time, I was kind of feeling like I need to start to think about I'm not getting younger. Right. And I've been working in marketing, brand, and operations my entire day career. And I have a coaching and consulting business. But I'm really passionate about helping people just at a broad level. And so I made a decision to go back to school all at the same time. So all these things are happening at the same time.
Wow.
And I applied for my master's, and I wasn't, maybe in my mind, I wasn't sure if it was going to happen, and I hadn't been back to school in 20 years.
Yeah.
And I got accepted.
That's amazing. Congratulations.
But this is you're going into the unknown. I'm like, I haven't been a student in 20 years. I haven't been in that environment. It felt very foreign to me. And this is an online master's program in counseling and psychology.
Isolating, potentially being online.
Isolating and totally different way of learning. I went to school and we were still writing our exams. Now I'm showing my age. This is it's a very different world now.
Yes.
And so I just found I was in a land of difference and I had to figure things out quickly because everything moves faster. Yeah. Learning styles are faster. The way we learn is different. It's exciting, but at the same time, it creates a sense of isolation and potentially loneliness all at the same time. But here's the thing. I took a key learning from self-compassion. I'm a mindful self-compassion teacher, is that in those moments of isolation, our tendency as people is to isolate more, to ruminate, when we should be doing the opposite, which is realizing that we're actually not alone in our experiences, and that if we're feeling that way, chances are others are too. And the gateway is to reach out. And I did. I connected to a Facebook group, and I saw that there were other people who were kind of feeling this trepidation of being back at school and in this new situation. And then I reached out to a couple of people in the class.
Oh, that's lovely.
And we created a study group, and it just sort of snowballed from there. And I've actually stayed connected to a couple of those people as we've continued into the program. I believe in this world, one of the things that we have to realize when we're feeling those senses of overwhelm and like we're alone is recognizing, pausing, and taking that moment to say that we aren't alone and find those connections to other people.
Yeah. So it's taking that first little step. And I love that technology has had a lot of sort of negative impact on the world in some way, but it also has made us very connected. You can now take a master's online, and even reaching out to a community on Facebook or other platforms to find people that are going through the same thing as you are.
Absolutely. It's a gateway. It's like a gateway, right? Like a portal.
Yeah, into a whole new community and village.
That's right.
So you have your community established. You have a very solid village around you. With that love and support, what are all the things that you are able to accomplish?
How much time do you
have? How much time do we have? All day if you want. No, I'm just kidding.
So I have two main businesses. I'm a co-owner of a production company with my husband.
Very cool.
Amit One Productions. And we've been doing that since the first month that we got married. So,
wow.
Yeah, we got incorporated the same month we got married. My husband is a visionary. He's a very creative person.
Amazing.
He's the creative arm of the company. And I started out more as the business side and have gotten more involved in the creative side as the years have gone by. Then our other business, which is my business, Double J Strategic, is a coaching and consulting business. I've been doing that since about 2016.
Very multifaceted from both a creative side and a business side, but there's even more than that. What's happening in life in general?
In life in general, well, you have your work hat and then you have your life hat, and you try to bring everything together. So I mentioned like a big portion of my life hat right now is spent with my family, with my two parents who have dementia. And a big part of our time is like not only just learning about it, but also being family caregivers. And what does that mean? And how do you balance? So when you talk about work-life balance, that's become a big part of life.
Yeah.
And how do you kind of manage that and become masters of that domain? Because it's absolutely imperative in this stage. So just striking that balance has been something we've been trying to achieve over the last 2 years as things have transitioned. And then I'm also very actively involved in working with not-for-profits. And I do a lot of my mindfulness and mindful self-compassion work in that space. I do offer a monthly mindfulness session that anyone is welcome to. And I work with Courage in Action, and I've just started working with Sheena's Place, which is
amazing
for people who are affected with eating disorders. And I'm working on their marketing committee and hoping to work on building a mindfulness program that I can share with their community as well.
That's all such important work, bringing mindfulness to all of these organizations, and every aspect of your life is just incredible. So thank you for doing that. Have you found a connection between mindfulness and managing dementia for your parents?
I have, yes. That's a great question. More specifically at this stage with my father than with my mother-in-law as of yet.
Yeah.
But yes. And actually there's research to show that there's benefits for those who are struggling with, I would say, overall degenerative diseases. You know, mindfulness is a practice that allows you to connect to acceptance and awareness and the idea that there's an absence of judgment. And I think working with my dad, he comes to my meditations.
Oh, I love that.
And working with people with dementia in various stages, I'm not sure what your knowledge is about dementia, but there's multiple stages of dementia. And my father at this stage is sort of a middle stage. There's the beginning stage, which is sometimes called mild cognitive impairment.
Okay.
Where somebody is still very strong and functioning, but may be experiencing, not to get too detailed, because I know this isn't a dementia conversation, but still high functioning, probably living on their own, those types of things, moving into the moderate, which is where my father is, on the borderline of more severe, which is where very lack of short-term memory, but can be very physically able, but may be suffering with things like wandering a lot, having this like restlessness, loss of appetite, all of these types of things. And okay. So where mindfulness can come into play is creating moments, really tapping into that experience in the moment. And so what I find with my dad is when we get into a meditation is he can actually be very present, and that sort of restlessness kind of dissipates, even if it's for a couple of minutes.
Wow.
And, you know, part of it is the people around him make him feel warm and accepted. And again, that lack of judgment. So he feels part of that community. Another thing that's really important for dementia, people with dementia, is consistency. In the mindfulness community, there's a lot of consistency. So bringing the same people together with similar experiences. So I try to do a practice with him that's very consistent.
I love that. What a beautiful experience to share with him, especially as you're trying to spend a lot of time together. That's a really special connection to have. And as a mindful practitioner, obviously you've integrated mindfulness throughout all of the facets of your life.
Yes, it's taken time. And even for me on my journey, as from where I started when I started practicing mindfulness, but it is a foundation and now a mindset for me. It's the embodiment of how I live.
How would you suggest that people, like many members of our audience who are very busy, live multifaceted lives with big decisions or small decisions that are very difficult to make? How do regular people integrate that into your daily life, and how do you make that a habit?
It's my favorite question. And it's often the one that people struggle with most. Really great way to sort of think about mindfulness is it can be anywhere, anytime, any moment. And it's not a prescribed, like it doesn't have to be any particular length duration. It's about taking a moment. Like I'll be on the subway and I'll be sitting or I'll be standing and I'll just stop for a moment and take a nice, really deep breath in. And then I just exhale. Maybe I close my eyes and I count to five. That in itself is a mindfulness moment. There's a lot of power in breath and many different modes of practice. Like when you think about things like even yoga or fitness or anything like that, we use breath as an anchor. And sometimes people will say it's like a focus tool.
Yeah.
In meditation, we use it to help us guide us. It's like our North Star. I often say to people, remember your breath is your safety space. It brings you back to give you a place that you can anchor on in the middle of your practice if you're feeling overwhelmed. It's the same thing. If you're in the middle of your day, your breath is something. One of the things that we don't realize that we can rely on that we often take for granted until we don't have it. You know, I've had asthma, so I know what it feels like to not be able to breathe. But we go on, we breathe.
Yeah.
When we actually take a moment and we focus on breath, it brings heightened awareness. We start to feel the breath in the body. We can see the breath move all the way through the body. We can see parts of our body that we may never have actually paid attention to before. And we start to realize just how what we thought was something so small, breath, something we took advantage of, has so much power and meaning.
And it's such a big difference between shallow, unconscious breath and deep breathing. And I've had therapists and counselors who have reminded me to breathe. And it was just so fascinating that unconsciously I almost had stopped breathing or forgotten about it, or it was so shallow. But when you just take that moment and take that deep inhale, it's just such a difference in your whole body.
You can. I will say cautiously that some people that might be suffering from like anxiety or can struggle if they focus on their breath.
Oh, so it has the opposite effect.
It can
Interesting.
increase the anxiety and the sense of overwhelm. And so in those situations, because I see this in when I teach meditation. In those situations, I always say to people, let go of the focus on the breath and the intention behind the breath, and actually maybe just look at your body. Focus
Oh, I
on the
love that.
feeling of your body. And that can kind of bring everything down because not everything is for everybody. And I mean that by
Yes,
everybody and
that's great. Yeah, that was a
everybody.
great way to put it.
It's also, again, it always goes back to what works for you and what feels right for you. And eventually, over time, even if you have, like, if you struggle with anxiety, you will be able to let go and come back to being able to work with your breath over time. But may not be in those first few times if you've never done it before. And so it's just being aware of the experience for you.
I love that you said that. It made me self-reflect on times when I was feeling very anxious and someone told me to take a deep breath. I'd be like, I can't even start. So it's not even, you said it's different for every body, meaning physical body, but it's also different within yourself depending on what you're experiencing that moment in time. If I put myself back into that state when I was having anxiety attacks, you can't actually catch your breath. So I love that you said to forget about it and to concentrate on what's going on in your body. How do you listen to your body and not allow your mind to blur that connection you have with your body?
It's a great question. So one of the things I think that is kind of a bit of a myth about mindfulness is this idea that you clear your mind. Part of being human is the fact that we have thoughts and experiences, and it happens within our mind, right? And so the fact is that mindfulness in and of itself is just accepting where you are in that moment. So you could be in a state of overwhelm and distracted thinking. Mindfulness is being aware of that, tuning in and
Awareness.
saying, I am absolutely in a state of chaos in my mind, and my mind is thinking about 300 things right now. I'm aware of where I'm at. I accept myself for being there. It doesn't say, okay, so now I have to, like, how do I get through the 300 things and let my mind be clear? It's acknowledging and allowing yourself to sit with that and be okay with who you are in that moment.
That is so important to allow yourself to do that because mindfulness isn't about fixing something, right?
No, it's about accepting. It's about accepting us as humans, and humans have so many different emotions and experiences. We can't push it all out to the side, but when we start to accept it, we can start to learn how to manage it a little bit better and cultivate resources to help us. And part of that is acceptance. When we start to really tune in and know, like, what is happening in here, and we start to listen a little bit better, a little more clearly, we start to understand where those thoughts and ideas and emotions and feelings are coming from. It's that idea that we can kind of start to tune into the inner critic and the negativity and start to manage what's happening so it doesn't take over. I could do a whole podcast on the inner critic. I do workshops on inner critic. It very much goes into belief systems. And a lot of what I find with inner critic is oftentimes we understand it on the surface, but we haven't gone to the root, like underneath. And a lot of the work to really understand where that critic is coming from is deep.
Yes, very.
And that's why a lot of people haven't been able to discover where what's going on with the inner critic and why it keeps sort of percolating and why it gets stronger and stronger and stronger instead of being more manageable.
How can people start to do that on their own? People who are listening right now, like, oh yeah, my self-critic is having a field day with me today. What would you suggest are the first steps to helping manage that?
The biggest first step with an inner critic is understanding what they're saying. Instead of just running away and avoiding the inner critic, it's confronting them and letting them say what they need to say for a moment, listen, and try writing it down.
I've done that before, and it's a very interesting experience. And it almost starts to dilute instantly when I start writing it down.
I often say to people, think about them saying, you're not worthy. You're not worthy of love. You're not worthy of validation. You're not worthy, whatever it is that they're saying, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And just stop for a minute and question, ask questions.
Yes. Yes.
Start asking them, what do you mean? Why? What does that mean? What?
Yeah. Yeah.
And work through a few questions and see if you can get some answers, because it's coming from within you. So try to get some answers from yourself. Why am I not worthy? Why shouldn't I be validated?
Mm-hmm.
So I have a series of exercises that are very inner critic driven, and they range from like journal style exercises to one of the more challenging ones is mirror exercises, mirror work, which can be very, very powerful. So depending on where you're at with your inner critic and how much work you've already done, there's different levels of activity that can be very empowering in terms of how do you get to the root cause and address your inner critic.
So if people are interested in doing that work or taking any of your programs, how do they find you?
They can reach me directly through my website, doublejstrategic.com. Or they can email me at jen@admitone.ca. And I am very happy to discuss any of these topics.
You have a new program. Can you tell us about that too?
I do. I'm extremely excited about it. It's called Mindful Habit Changing. I'm partnering with Alan Musket. Just love that name, by the way. And he's based in the UK.
Yep.
He's a mindfulness practitioner and a registered hypnotherapist. And we both know the power of mindfulness, not only as practitioners, but having used it in our own lives and been able to go to places and see transformations within ourselves and within others. Mindfulness is the foundation of how you build and break habits and actually create a sustainment plan for your life. And so this program is built on that so that we can teach you the power of mindfulness together with a habit changing model and fusing the two together. We'll ask anyone that's coming into the program to bring either an idea of a habit they want to build or bring something in that they want to break, that they've been dying to break. And we'll work through that through the program.
Sounds like a great program.
Yeah. We're really looking forward to it. And we're going to be doing a research paper around it as well.
I love that. You've very successfully integrated mindfulness into your life. And you've said it's your way of being. What would you say is the biggest way that mindfulness impacted and influenced your life?
That's a really wonderful question. I love that. I think it's opened me to being not just tuned in to myself, but more aware and accepting of others in this world. And I'm so grateful for the discovery of that. It actually makes me like, brings tears to my eyes, but like my heart feels so much more open. My mind, my eyes, just everything. And I attribute that to my mindfulness practice and everything that I've cultivated as a result of being part of the mindfulness and the mindful self-compassion journey.
That's amazing. Yeah. What would you like your final thoughts to be for our listeners as they begin or continue their mindfulness journey?
I would put my hand on my heart and I would say, in what's happening in this world today, take a breath, take a pause, and don't ever hesitate to be kind to everyone, everything, every being.
Absolutely lovely. Thank you so very much for your time today. That was a really insightful conversation, and I know our listeners will learn a lot from it and hopefully sign up for your programs and continue their mindfulness journey with you.
Thank you so much. It was lovely to spend time with you.
Courage in Action is dedicated to helping women move forward from difficult circumstances and create their best lives. If you enjoyed this podcast, please remember to like, follow, and share it on Apple, Spotify, or Podbean. We appreciate your support and thank you for listening.